Blog Talk Radio.
Is my partner, my brother Darren Cora, is running just a tad bit late, just a tad. So I'm gonna start the show for a couple minutes until I get my guy in. First of all, thank you to everybody who sent us film for our mixtape. We really appreciate it. You know, it turned out to be a success. I mean, we got some good, you know, reception from it. You know, the consensus is people liked it. So I'm glad that we both are. We're glad that y'all enjoyed it, and you know, we appreciate y'all for sending us so much material. I mean, from ACB John Glenn to the great people at, you know, at Midland Dow, and you know, Huron and so forth. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I mean, thank y'all for listening.
To continue to listen to us, really appreciate y'all. So, you know, thank you. On our show today, you know, we have a good one for you guys. We have Jarvis Mitchell, head coach of Wayne Memorial. You know, if you guys follow him on Twitter, y'all know that he's a very interesting personality. So, you know, it'd be great to have him on. He's, you know, becoming like a, you know, a brother to me. He's Darren's actual brother. So, it should be, you know, that interview, that conversation with him should be good. We're going to have him on in just a few minutes, in about 10 minutes or so. So I'm going to take a little break while I try to connect my co-hosts.
We'll be right back.
We are back. My co-host, my partner, my brother, Darren Clore, is on. What's up, dog?
Hey, man, don't tell the folk I'm running late. What's wrong with you?
Hey, you was chilling. You was at the business meeting, remember? Remember you at that business meeting?
Man, real talk, I know we don't cover boys a lot, but I got to give a huge shout out to my brother, my little brother. I'm actually in the field right now. Man, beating Southfield High just runs in the family. man, Robichaud JV boys had a little scrimmage or whatever against Southfield High. And they weren't keeping score, but from my score keeping skills, the school on 10 miles just didn't cut it this time, man.
Hey, you know, Harry, thanked all the people for sending us that footage, man. They sent us so much footage for the mixtape, man. So, how'd you feel about everybody sending the stuff? You know, I talk to people out there, you know.
Man, I loved it. You know, everybody who, people don't get to hear what me and Eric talk about on a daily basis, and that might be a good thing, but, I was telling Eric, like, you know, we could have realistically, and we would have just got a few more clips. We could have realistically made two mixtapes. It was just so many clips like that I wanted to put in there, but I was really adamant about not having a 5-minute mixtape. It just felt real great to see all the coaches reach out to us who wanted to showcase their kids' talents. And this is only the first one, man. Like, a flood is coming. So, I'm Noah, and I'm telling y'all, a flood is coming. So, you know, there's more to come, no doubt.
A flood, man? A flood?
A flood. Like, literally, we're going to flood the streets with mixtapes. Can't tell you when, can't tell you who. Get your clips to us and let us know who you are. You know what I'm saying? If we don't know you, just ask us how to submit clips, because there's a number of ways you can get them to us, and we're going to take care of the rest. Everybody get a mixtape, B.
Hey, nah, Mom wants time for paid in full.
We was
out in the land of the Wolverines. Oh God. Ann Arbor here around, man. So, you know, it was an MLK tournament. Pretty good event, you know, if I say so myself. You know, good team battling it out. Hey Darren, so you know, what was some of the top performances that you've seen, you know?
The top performances. Oh, man. First off, I just have to go to the shooting performance of Laura Newman from Flushing. She shot the blood out of the ball against Renaissance and really made it look easy, like found her way open. And that's one of the things that, you know, a lot of kids just don't know, because you can't really teach it. You can teach the move to get open, but you can't teach that feel to just know when to sit, know when to just slightly move. Man, she was just always open and hitting open shots.
Oh, man. And you told me about that. I wasn't able to be in attendance for that. So, you know, a lot of people – you know, don't talk. I mean, Flushing was talked about as a top team in the beginning of the year. The talk kind of got quiet during the middle of the year. Did they bring themselves back to the forefront with that win over Renaissance?
Ooh, I mean, Renaissance is. I mean, I think they moved up a spot in the AP poll, so they had to. I think they just entered into honorable mention. Flushing did. But when you go out there and you contain an All-American or, you know, a high major player like Tyus Frazier, you have to be considered one of the better teams in Michigan. You know, I tell people all the time, there's 200-plus teams in Michigan. And they went out there and they played like one of the top-tier teams in Michigan. I mean, Claire Galaniak, you know, went to work down low, really got whatever she wanted throughout the game, flush and roll her all the way to the end. It was something to watch, man. And they did all of this without, you know, somebody who's considered their best player in Breonna Perry. And I wish her a speedy recovery, but wow, Flushing went out there and they got a dub for her because she did just suffer that injury this week.
Shout out to Breonna Perry. I mean, we both pray for a speedy recovery for you, if you're listening. I want to talk about one team. I'm not gonna go an individual. I'm gonna go a team performance, and that's Dexter. I mean, the way they moved the ball was so crisp, so on point, and they communicated very well on defense and. You know, just play as a well-oiled machine, you know, to quote my brother over here. You know, they were just so every decision was deliberate, decisive, quick. You know, everything was cohesive. So, you know, shout out to Dexter. You know, I think they entered the honorable mention in the AP poll this week with their win over Robichaud. So, you know, they're a team to look out for. They're a dangerous team. And we talked about them last week, you know, in our tournament, you know, our bracket breakdown for the state tournament. You know, they're going to be a tough team to look out for, you know, during March.
Man, the way they moved the ball, it was something. And honestly, with Flushing as well, I didn't even get to talk about that as well. The way you saw teams move the ball this past weekend in Ann Arbor, it was special. I mean, just about every team that came away with a W, you know, with the exception of the earlier games that I wasn't able to see because, you know, Saturday. But, you know, the earlier games that I wasn't able to see, everybody was moving the ball, and they were doing it well. I mean, even if you want to look at Country Day, early on in that game, Tyler Bennett gets involved. And she start, you know, and Kayla Webb and Destiny Pitts and Powell, they're on the perimeter just moving the ball well. Not every shot fell. It was pretty low scoring first half. But they moved the ball well. And you kind of saw that take Ann Arbor Huron off of their key, you know, early on. Just didn't look like the same defensive team that they, you know, have a reputation as.
Yeah, I mean, country, you know, even though, you know, it was kind of a slow first half for Country Day, they really actually picked it up in that third quarter. And here on made it a game in the fourth quarter, really made it interesting. But Country Day really involved everybody. During this past weekend, one game, you know, I assume that my brother was anticipating. I know I was, you know, our alma mater, as we always say, Southfield Lathrop against, you know, the mighty Toledo Rogers team out of Ohio, you know that. What you think of that game? I'm gonna start with you. What did you think of that game, man?
Man, revenge. The sweet taste of revenge. That's probably the best game. Well, again, I didn't get to see the Chelsea and Farmington Hills Harrison, which went into overtime. But Rogers versus Lathrop was the best game that I watched that whole day. You know, Lathrop ends up winning by 11, but it's really a close game. And Lathrop played their best game. Yes, I said it. I know they have a 30. They have multiple 30-plus wins, you know, this season. But Lathrop played their best game of this season against Toledo Rogers. I mean, Toledo Rogers is basically a college team. And that's not a hyperbole. They're basically a college team. I mean, length everywhere on the court. What, their point guard is 5'8", right? Listed as 5'8".
Yeah, Cookie's about 5'7", 5'8". Long,
yeah,
too.
She's definitely listed as 5'8". I mean, multiple six-footers, you know, in their starting lineup. It's, you know, if there was a team that was going to give Lathrop a problem, it was Rogers. And everybody on Lathrop answered the bell. The reserves got in and played some great defensive minutes. Paye Bello just so. And then Miller, drop a bomb for Miller. Please drop a bomb for Miller. That girl is something special.
Hey, Darren.
Hmm?
Would you go as far as to say best point guard in the state? I think you probably said that, but like, would you say it again?
Have I fired the best point guard in the state?
I think you did, like, in our early show, like, one of our early shows.
Man. she's definitely
I mean, it's already
up
on
there.
Record.
She's definitely up there. I think she's one of the better point guards in the state, just off of what she gives you in athleticism and basketball IQ.
Hey, way to handle that bait I was giving you.
Yes, sir.
I thought I lost you again, bro. Moving on though, I was trying to bait my brother into making a hot take, but you know, and like we said, in a couple minutes we're gonna have Coach Jarvis Mitchell from Wayne Memorial on in a few minutes, so you know, this should be interesting. This should really be interesting. I'm going to take a quick break. Got some things. Our producers are telling us we got to tighten up a couple things. So here's the trap music. Yo, I'm back. I see now that we have Jarvis Mitchell on the line. I'm going to punch him in right this second. Hey, Jarvis, what's up, man?
Yes, sir. What's going on?
How you doing, man?
Love is love. I would complain, but who would listen to that?
Hey,
what's happening?
What's good?
Last second shot,
hey.
What it look like?
Hey, nah, look, hey, we just doing what we do, man. Hey, you know, you got it all, man.
No, man, shoot, I'm just a little guppy, man, a little guppish. I'm trying to survive. That's all. I'm sweating, nervous.
Hey,
thanks for having me.
Hey man, thanks for being on, man. We really appreciate it. I'm gonna just hop right into it, man. It's a lot
Absolutely.
Of lot
wait,
of.
Wait. Now should I introduce myself for the listeners that don't know? Can I?
You know what? Yeah, hey, you know what? Yeah, you should do that. Actually, yeah.
Can I? You know, because
hey, go ahead,
a lot of people that I'm so misunderstood. I hope after this interview, man, that it's a lot of clarity. And, you know, because I'm going to be very transparent, you know, so I just want to make sure that all the rumors and all the things that are said about me are cleared up tonight, man, you know. Yeah, I'm just Jarvis Mitchell, man. I am the head coach of Wayne Memorial High School and also the director of One Nation Girls Basketball 17U Elite Team. I should hear a clap or applause, an audience applause.
Hey, we're going to drop a bomb one time for the One Nation.
Yes, sir.
Let's expound on you with One Nation. So how did this come about?
You know, actually, I had a conversation with Apple Jones, who is the founder of One Nation, and she had heard a lot about me through various people. You know, they were, you know, because they wanted to expand into a girls program, and so when she called me, I was absolutely elated, man, because I've always wanted to have a situation where I had a strong backing and a replicable name. You know what I mean? One Nation Under Armour Boys is definitely making a strong statement on the guys' side of the circuit. So when I first came out independently, I had a team called Detroit Diamond, and I had no sponsorships, no sneaker deal, no anything like that. It was just hustling. You know what I mean? Just old school back alley brawl hustling and trying to make any means to help my team get to all these top exposure tournaments. So now it's a little less pressure, and I'm just happy to be a part of it, man, to be honest.
Hey, now, Jar, you mentioned that first Diamonds team when you first came out with the AAU. Mm-hmm. Hey, talk about how special that first Diamond team was, man. Y'all, mostly freshmen and a sophomore.
Absolutely.
Y'all won a super regional, right?
Absolutely. The thing about it is, I took kids that were extremely small, under the radar, not heavily recruited, and it was like if you've ever seen any of the Rockies. That was our formidable training. Like, we really was in and I didn't have a gym that was our mainstay. We was in and out of various gyms in Detroit, whether it was Coleman A. Young, Roberto Clemente. We've even practiced outside. But it was that unorthodox style of training that prepared them for anything. So in any venue that we went to, we had no problem with performing because we've been through worse. You know, you go to Coleman A. Young, downtown Detroit, by King High School, they don't have air conditioning. So you're liable to lose 17 pounds in an hour's practice. You know what I mean? But it was those kind of conditions that trained them involuntarily where they can go into any kind of gym and feel comfortable as long as they had two hoops and a basketball. But that group was special, man. That group was absolutely special. You know, a lot of those guys are playing Division I basketball right now, which I'm very proud of. And actually, every kid on that team is playing college basketball right now. Every one. So.
Hey, you know, that's one of the biggest things. I know me and you have had, you know, off-air conversations, with, you know, about it. But you know, this is one of the reasons I'm really glad to have you on, you know, to tell stories like that and bring up stuff like that, because a lot of people don't know. A lot of the kids that you have had, I know myself, I don't know about anybody else, I know myself, I had never heard of a Taylor Parker or a Taylor Willis until they got with you.
Mm-hmm.
So you took kids that really not a lot of people knew and molded them.
Oh, my God.
Into Division I kids, and I think that's just incredible. And to continuously do that is just amazing.
Yeah, I appreciate that. The thing is, with a lot of these kids, man, they just need absolutely genuine love. Like the Taylor Parkers and the Caden Willises, and even the Tyra Jones. Like a lot of people, Tyra Jones is unheard of. Tyra Jones didn't play AAU until she played with me her freshman year, and she ended up signing with Duquesne University. But a lot of those kids, man, they just need absolute genuine love, where they feel like the coach completely cares about them. They knew I wasn't getting a college job from them. They knew I wasn't getting a special package or money or anything like that. So it was absolutely just, yo, you get my time, you get my heart, you get my effort, and you're getting 100% all of me. You know what I mean? And that's how you be productive.
And it's so interesting that you mentioned, like, you're not getting any special package for doing what you do for the kids. It just all comes from your passion to make people better. Where do you think half of these rumors about you get started? Like,
well, a lot of them are from, I mean, to be honest, are just from people that just don't want to work. I mean, now quite naturally, if you see someone coming and they have a better work ethic, they have a more sincere ambition, then that's too much competition. See, everybody's okay. Everybody is fine when the natural order of things is just quietly taking place. But when something shakes something up and it's like, It's the new neighbor, or it's the new cool kid that comes to school, and now all the attention is going to him. It's like, nah, man, we ain't got no room for that. Unless you have a genuine heart for kids, where you'd be like, look, if he's helping kids, that's the most important thing. I don't care how the kids make it, as long as they make it. But and so that's where the rumors start, where, okay, we got to stop this before this thing steamrolls, and we're not looked upon as the saviors of girls basketball. I'm going to be honest, because, like, I haven't done absolutely anything to anyone for a lot of those rumors to start. The sad part about it is the people that don't know me personally, they'll listen to the rumors, and then they already have a preconceived attitude towards me, with never, ever having a conversation or really digging deep into who I am and what I'm about. So, yeah, I get that unfair rap sometimes. But it's all right, baby. They even talked about Jesus, right? I'm not comparing myself to Jesus. Stop, because I don't want that to be taken out of court, and then, you know, now there'll be another rumor start. See, we got it on record. He just called himself Jarvis. No, he didn't say that.
Hey, so I mean, we, you know, one of the things that, you know, I mean, this year you're making a lot of noise. You know, having a good season right now. I think you guys are 6-3, if I'm correct, right?
7-3.
Okay.
Yep.
I mean, you know, way different from last year's. You know, how does it feel now to come from, you know, 0-21 to, you know, you're 7-3 now. You know, you looked at as a team who can, you know, make it to a regional, make probably, you know, even a regional final. You know, how does that feel?
You know, I'm going to be honest, very, very mixed emotions, because, you know, I would think I would be received better, or where people would be like, yo, okay, now there's a new situation in town, we got to get stuff together. But of course, quite naturally, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, yeah, but of course, quite naturally, like I said, when there's a change, there comes, you know, hate, and there comes suspicion, and there comes, we got to find a way to stop this. Now, the people that's inside of my circle, they're very extremely proud. They're very happy, and I am too, because, I mean, it shows that, you know, I wasn't complacent. I didn't come to get along. I didn't come to just be even. I really came to take over. I didn't come to play around. And that's my ambition. I want to be the best I can be. I don't want to come to just join a circle. You know, if I can, I want to make the circle bigger. So, you know, because we all win. If we're all pushing each other and we all are extremely competitive, then that makes the arena even bigger, right?
Right.
I would assume that. I mean, that's what I would want. And I hope there's another somebody else that's come that's just as innovative as I am, and he pushes me even harder. And so before you know it, Michigan girls basketball has an absolute breeding gauntlet of just absolute animals, and we're back on top. Because if you look at Michigan basketball right now in the state that it's in, we are getting absolutely jaded by the rest of the states, cities, and other AAU programs, largely because of biasness, I'm going to say that. But, I mean, if you look at a lot of prestigious, like All-American teams or the USA Select teams and things of that nature, we are absolutely getting ignored. And, you know, I mean, like, a case an example, the USA team this year, girls 16U, they had 4 kids from Texas, 3 kids from California, 1 kid from Michigan. I mean, but this has been years running. And then Michigan basketball, we haven't had McDonald's All-American since 2010. Much less the city, Detroit City, which has breeded a lot of individually talented girls that didn't make it to these games. You take somebody like a Brandis Agee, no shameless plug, but I absolutely believe Brandis Agee was one of the top. Crystal Bradford, Anthony Hayes. These guys are absolute standouts and did very well on a national circuit, but still in all, no mentions. So that's what I'm here for. I'm here to make Michigan basketball a real competitive circle so we all just keep pushing each other and we all just keep working. That's all.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I told Eric this last night because we were talking about some of the snubs over the years in the McDonald's All-American game. I told Eric that I thought Brandy got cheated. There's no way that, you know, she could be ranked in the top 22 in the nation. And then 24. Yeah, it's 212 man rosters. And you see, like, you hear, you know, the stories about her dominating half of the people in front of her on the EYBL circuit. And then do you think other programs and other directors such as yourself have to bring that type of passion for it to truly become that competitive arena?
Well, here's the thing. Now, with the girls program in Michigan, with everybody, we need to pull together as so much and stop fighting each other. Like, because at the end of the day, you know how everybody got these Detroit versus everybody shirts? It should be Michigan versus everybody because everybody else is looking out for each other. I mean, it's like some of these girls' accolades are inexplicable. Some of these kids that are making these teams and getting all these mentions and nominations, it's like, wow. No, not to them, but I just want to see our kids do it. So that means we're going to have to get some coaches here that are going to want to live and die in gym. With the Diamonds, we practice 5 to 6 times a week. That's almost unheard of for an AAU team. You know what I mean? I mean, if I'm being honest, you know what I mean? Like, most AAU programs practice twice a week, and that's for various reasons. And I...
Jarvis?
Or these AU Story programs that got their own gyms, they got their own trainers, and now we send our Michigan kids who are only together twice a week to go face against a team that's together 5 or 6 days a week? That's the problem. It's more, yeah, you have to be, and you know, a lot of these kids are coming from a long ways to travel, so I understand the dynamic in not only, I mean, only being in practice twice a week, but we're sending our kids into these huge arenas, and they're half-cocked, and then it makes Michigan basketball not look up to par, so now they have a reason to not rank us as high. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, until we figure out a way to say, hey, twice a week isn't going to get it, if that means we have to outsource, bring a trainer in or somebody that's willing to volunteer time, because I'm going to be honest, if some kids that are just naturally talented and they only practice twice a week and then they'll show up and then they'll still be a part of the team. You can't do that. Getting too competitive. You know what I mean? So I know some AU programs I talk to around the country, they go twice a day in the summertime. Twice a day. So when you play against the Kentucky Premiers, or the Cal Sparks, or you know, Team Taurasi or the Philly Bells, any of them teams, these kids are getting 600 to 700 shots up a week, while your kid is getting 150. So it's quite easy to get down by 20 in the first half. You know.
Now going back into the high school, and just into the high school arena, you know, your team is off to a solid start.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is there a ceiling for this team, and what goals did you set for your team at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, it's the same goal I have for every team I've ever coached. I just want to get better. Like, I mean, honestly, awards, when you start setting goals like, okay, I want to win the district, I want to win the state, I want to win the regionals, when you start setting goals like that, you are limiting your team's success because so much can factor into that. You might have a weak district, and you may win it, but does that mean your team got better? You may play against a team in a district that had too many eligible players and one was hurt, and you beat them. Does that mean you got better? I would rather lose as long as my kids got better in every aspect of their game, as opposed to saying, well, yeah, I won the district. Yeah, I won the regionals. Yeah, I won the KLAA. That's not my business. I have no business in none of that. All I want is my kids to be able to comprehend basketball, get better at it, have fun, and be prepared. And I've told a lot of people before, I'm really not a coach. I'm more of a preparer. I'm preparing my kids for what's really going to happen out there. I could sit here all day and design a flex offense and a motion, and all that would be good for what they have here. But when they have to go to college and they have to get their own shot off and they're not used to that, then how good of a coach was I if I didn't prepare them for something that they might have to face that's for real? Because if you look at the way the girls' game is going right now and their steady shortening the shot clock and things of that nature, yeah, it's great to be a great system player. But at the end of the day, you still want, you know, the name of the game is to put that ball in that hole. You understand what I mean?
The basketball wisdom Twitter page is going crazy right now.
I wouldn't know because I blocked all of them. So,
plug. Yeah, man. You know, but I mean, honestly, and so I mean, like, I'm just the head coach by title, but honestly, I just like to prepare my kids for what's real. I want my kids to be able to dribble, pass, shoot, left hand, right hand, know how to ball fake, no game time situations. I mean, I need to incorporate all that. You know what I mean? Because I played on every level. So I understand what these kids are really going through. You know what I mean? It's different. Like, basketball is like one of the most unforgiving genres that we have. You know what I mean? Like, with basketball, you don't have to have any experience and still have a credible voice in this game. And here's what I mean by saying, like, it can be a guy with a lot of money, and he can have a kid on the team, and he can say, you know what, I don't like the way that coach coached, and I like basketball, so I'm going to coach. And you can get a bunch of kids together, but as long as you have the money and you can fund it, now you can go to some of the top players and be like, yo, I can pay for you. You ain't got to worry about that. And then that sounds great to the parent that can't afford that. So now you have somebody coaching a team that has no prior experience and just has his mind and his money invested, and now that kid's career changes. All because of what? But basketball is the only genre in entertainment that has that. You can't be a pianist and do that. You know, you have to, you know, you can be a natural, but you're still going to have to practice at it, or you're still going to have some kind of prior experience. But basketball, you can absolutely just come in late and say, yeah, I'm a coach. I won this, I won that, I won this, I won that, and now you're certified. It's unfair to these kids. It's really unfair.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly, you know, on that. And, you know, I want to hop in, you know, me and Darren touched on this subject in a, you know, a previous show. You know, the whole transfer thing, you're a guy with a couple, you know, a couple transfers yourself. You know, how do you feel about it?
I heard a crop. I saw a newspaper article that said I had a crop of transfers.
I don't know about a crop. I just know, unless it's something I don't know, I just know of two.
Well, I keep waiting at the door. I'm waiting on the crop to come in. I'm bugging the FedEx guy every day because I read a crop somewhere. So I'm asking the UPS guy every day, like, wait a minute. They said a crop was coming in. I'm waiting. Come on. I need to get this.
You know, we already gave, you know, we already hopped on our soapbox about, you know, transfers and everything like that. How do you feel about the transfer rules and transfers in general in high school?
Well, I mean, to be honest, it's the essence of life. It's change. It's fit. And you know, everybody's career is customized. That's what everybody keep ignoring. If you keep ignoring that a situation just doesn't fit, you can't complain about it. I mean, I look at the transfer rules. I'm not comparative because I don't want to sensationalize it. But it's a divorce. And what is the divorce rate in America? 52%? That's the nature of life. This doesn't fit right. Maybe this will be better. You're not quitting. You just didn't explore a better option first. That's how I look at it. I kind of Picasso'd that one. I kind of like how that came out. I think you should bring me back. No, but I'm being honest. And the raw essence of it, I really feel like, you know, sometimes we are catapulted in a situation through pressure or through bad advice, and now we have to suffer. No, with transferring, it gives you that chance to alleviate, because just as many success stories as there has been transferred, there's also non-successful stories. It's the nature of life. You make the situation, but there are some situations that are absolutely just like, okay, it's even basketball, but these kids need to feel good about their career because they only get one high school basketball career. and you don't want them living in regret for the rest of their life because they have to sleep that. I mean, even though I made it to the highest level playing basketball, there's still some nights I may wake up in the middle of the night like, oh, I should have shot that. But it's over. So I just got to live with that regret for the rest of my life or the what if. You understand what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, you make that decision, you got to be willing to say, hey, I realize I put myself in a bad situation. I'm willing to try something new. Hopefully it'll work. But if not, then, you know, I have to figure out something else out. Figure something else out. You understand what I'm saying? So it's I don't want to seem like I'm an advocate for it because I was a beneficiary. But in the same sense, I want to be clear that people have a freedom of choice. This isn't slavery. Just because I started here doesn't mean I have to live under your conditions for the rest of my life. I tried it. It didn't quite work out. I'm unhappy. I am a kid. I deserve to be happy and go to school and play the game that I love. I'm not getting in here. I don't understand a big deal.
Hey, now real quick. Now, this is kind of switching, like, way, you know, less, kind of more personal. Now, at the games, more so of your AAU games, when I was coaching with you out there in South Lake, we saw the cameras. You know, we kind of learned that they are making the documentary about your transition to be a coach. What's the update
right
on that? I mean, any updates, any release dates, or are they still filming?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. The dynamic of my career keeps changing. So it's hard for them to stop because every time they think they have enough film, an opportunity comes. You know, I thought they were finished with diamonds, and then, boom, Wayne Memorial comes. They thought they were finished with Wayne Memorial, and then, boom, All Ohio comes. They thought they were finished with All Ohio, and then, boom, One Nation comes. Like, oh, my God. Like, it's taking a new height almost every other day. I'm just grateful.
Definitely. Hey, I did mention that we coached together. I just want to make it known that all the tweets about the text, about 90% of those were Jarvis's fault. So I just got to tell our audience that. they gave me one that I guess I had to take. Everything else was Jarvis's fault.
Hey, listen here, man. I'm passionate. I'm passionate. I'm probably gonna get a lot more texts. As long as I don't top Rasheed or Bobby Knight, I think I'm doing all right.
Yeah, don't throw any chairs, Jarvis.
No, I can't throw any chairs right now because I got too many players. So they all sitting in them. So, but I mean, if I get one kid that stay home and she's sick, I might be able to launch one. Yes, sir.
All right, now, we've talked a lot of. Well, I know I have, and Darren has too. But you know, I'm really a big fan of your point guard, Cammie Clegg. Now,
I think I took that title.
Right, yeah, I am. But
what?
You know,
go ahead.
I see a different, you know, relationship as far as between you being the coach and her being the player. You know, I don't see that a lot, especially with point guards. You know, I think that's probably the most important position in basketball. I know you've played it. You know, what?
Absolutely.
Explain that dynamic between you and her. You know, and that connection.
Oh man, you know, honestly, Camry's special, man. Like, I done coached a lot of kids, man. And you know what I mean? But this, you know, her nickname is the Beast That Swallowed Tokyo. And, like, no, but, I mean, I really feel like that. Like, I mean, like, honestly, like, I mean, when I gave her the nickname, I was joking with her. But, honestly, that with the way Camry is, and if you knew her competitive drive, like, you know, the whole thing is the Beast of Swallow Tokyo. It's the Godzilla theme. And, you know, the Godzilla is like a larger-than-life character that destroys everything that's in his way. And, like, honestly, Camry is just in a real good groove, man. And but so our relationship grew because our careers are synchronized almost. I can look into her eyes so much and I see me all over again. I just see a kid that's just absolutely in love with her craft. And so every day I fall in love with her all over again because she'll do something to remind me of, God, dog, I remember I felt just like that. God, dog, I remember I used to do that. And so I know exactly how she's feeling. And we hit it off from the word go because I knew that was inside of her. I knew what was driving her. I knew, you know, that she needed that outlet to show the world what she can do because she's a talent, man. Like, I mean, it's sometimes, you know, I feel like I should have to pay admission even though I'm the coach because she'll do something that'll turn me right back into a fan and I'll be like, yo, that's just a good play, man. You know, that's just fun to watch. You see this little 5'3 kid, you know.
Now, do you think she ends up being the same type of prospect AG was?
That's a stretch. I'm be honest. Now, Brandy just was one of them. Brandy was a jealous hearted kid. Now, Brandy hates everything that moves. You know, I mean, I'll be honest. You know, but you know, I raised her like that. You know, we just like competing. Cam has that capability, you know, but another thing that helped Brandy out when she was playing was Brandy was 5'11", so her stat line look a little different than Cam's because Brandy might give you 27, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, you know what I mean, 5 blocks, and, you know, an absolute stat stuffer. And not saying Cam don't have that capability, but, you know, at being 5'4", 5'5", you know, getting 8 or 9 rebounds, you know, unless we playing on the midget circuit, you know, she ain't getting that. You know, that's my baby.
Oh, wow.
Man, and that's something. Now, I mean, just wrapping up, you know, like going into our final few questions. Now,
mm-hmm.
you know, What athlete or what player have you trained or coached or just been a part of that went on to do, you know, some good things that you just feel like people don't talk about enough?
Definitely. Now, Kyle Anderson of the San Antonio Spurs. Absolutely. Kyle Anderson, yeah, he plays in the league. And all that. I had him when he was younger, like 11 years old. But he's really like one of those kids that just doesn't lose. You know what I mean? Like, it's incredible. This kid's high school career is 104-8 games. And then his AAU career is like 119-6. It's like, yo, when you get a kid like that that just won't lose, and find a way to win every game, and still and all, he's fighting tooth and nail. Now, granted, he plays for the San Antonio Spurs, but also, you know, it's still and all. Like, I feel like one day he'll be an NBA superstar, but the way the NBA game is going right now, if you're not jumping from the free throw line, you're just considered a decent player. You know what I mean? So, but I mean,
right.
He's one. It's hard for me to point out one because I have so many kids that I've trained over the years, and I've looked and I'm like, wow, I'm really proud. You know what I mean? If you look at the Nia Ahart at Grosse Pointe Liggett, I mean, when you see her play and you see her have the ball, you know what I mean? It's like, I see myself all over again. I wasn't as long as her, but a lot of stuff that I've taught her over the years, when I see her do some of the stuff, I just be like, if y'all could have saw how that looked her sixth grade year, you know what I mean? If y'all could have saw how that looked her seventh grade year, like, yeah, we spent nights in Jesu gym. It's cold as hell. Ain't no heat going on. You know what I mean? Like this is real life. Like these stories is real life. This wasn't made up. Like, we really was in a gym with two lights working. You know what I
actually have a clip of that on your little commercial.
Exactly. Like no, that's real. Like, I mean, and sometimes it'd be 9 to 10 o'clock at night. You know what I mean? And, like, we just in there going at it. You know what I mean? But so when people come watch her play, or they'll come up to me and be like, oh, my God, your goddaughter is just incredible. And I'll just be like, yeah, you know, right. Right. You know, but really inside I'm elated because I'm like, you don't have no idea how many times, you know, me and this kid did, went at it where I had to tell her, like, look here, dog, you know, you're special. So go be special. With anybody, with Kayla Willis, you know, like, I mean, like, people see her and, you know, they like, oh, man, you know, Kayla, you know, she one of the top guards in the state, and, you know, I saw somebody said she handled the ball like a boy.
Yeah.
But you know how many years I spent talking her off the ledge? Like, look here, man. Look here. You know how many come to Jesus meetings I had with her? Like, look here, man. Look here. Okay. You know what I mean? So that's the part I'm more proud of. When I see all my kids doing exceptionally well, I think about our talks. I think about what we went through to get them there, and I can be more appreciative and I can be proud and say, whew, you just don't know. Like, I was at the Oakland game, the Michigan State in Oakland, and I heard somebody in the back say, oh, my God, number 10 is just outstanding. And, you know, like, for me, that is just the ultimate feeling because I'm like, if you knew number 10 couldn't dribble with her left hand until she was in the eighth grade, if you knew number 10 used to shoot with both hands when she was in the seventh grade, if you knew I had number 10 pushing tires outside of King High School, even though she went to Cass. Shout out to King High School. Thanks for leaving y'all track open. But if you knew number 10 used to run the stairs at Joe Louis, you know, downtown. You knew number 10 was at Butzel and, you know, playing with older men. You know what I mean? Like, it's when I get that feeling or I read something about the kids that I've trained, it's like, That's what I did it for. That's just what I did it for. You know what I mean? So, that's a tough question that you asked me. You know, which one? Because God, dog, I can even with now, like I said, like with Camry, like Camry. You know, whenever she goes somewhere now, and somebody says, you know, wow, man, like Camry's just totally different. Like, nah, no, she's not. I just energized her a little bit, and now she's, you know, she's averaging like 24-8 assists. You know, how many point guards that didn't play that much their freshman year come out their sophomore year, and it looks like she's been running this program for years, and she's a sophomore. You know what I mean? Like, if you go around the state and you see how many point guards is averaging 24-8, that's rough, man. You know what I mean? That's rough. So
yeah,
that's a tough question, man. Like, I'm so proud of a lot of them. A lot of them. I'll probably get some text messages in a minute. Like, Coach, you ain't say me. I love them all over, man. Yeah, man. But, you know, that's just, you know, it's tough to say that one, you know, it's a rough deal.
I thought you guys
were gonna go for the gusto. I was nervous.
No, you know, hey, we tried. Hopefully, I was trying to use a bleep when I was letting one off.
No, I mean,
right.
No. I was ready. I didn't have an audible. I didn't have anything. I was ready. I was absolutely ready. I thought I didn't get enough bait. I saw the worm hanging on the pole, but it didn't come deep enough in the water. So I felt like I'll get the next one.
Now, final question. Before we let you go, because I know you probably heading over to train somebody else right now. You're probably in the car right now.
I'm actually in the gym. You know, this is where I live. I don't even know why I pay rent. It's just it's ignorant. It's ignorant.
You know what I'm saying?
But I'm good though.
Now, what's the craziest story that you can put out on air that don't get us canceled?
Uh oh. Be careful, man. You know what? Yeah. Now that's a synopsis of my life. Just a crazy story. But I mean, you know, like I'm one big crazy story. But I mean, honestly, each story is unique. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I've saw a lot of things that, you know, that can be said and can't be said. But, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I want everybody to succeed, which is sounds crazy myself. Like, I want everybody in Michigan to succeed. I want Michigan Storm to win. I want the Michigan Crossovers to win. I want Michigan to win. Because at the end of the day, we all look better. And so if that sounds crazy at the end of the day, man, like I just, you know, because I get embarrassed sometimes when I talk to some of these Division I college coaches and they'd be like, oh, Jarve, well, you know, saw the kid and such, but, you know, and they'll rate everybody ahead of us. And I'll see that and I'll be like, dude, that's unfair. That's like really unfair. But I mean, so that's my crazy story. My crazy story is having us down for so long and how we going to change this. And, you know, one day we'll be back on top, you know. But a crazy story, man. Like, whew, that was crazy. I mean, you know, I don't know. I got a lot, but I like working at Wayne. I'm scared this audio might end up in the wrong hands, and you know. But I mean, like, I hope I touched on enough subjects that, you know, it gave people a more broader look on my take on Michigan basketball. But like, you know, now one of the crazier things that I did want to address now, like a story that I really feel like Michigan high school sports and athletics, man, we really need to be more flexible with a lot of these rules because, you know, when you look around the country, man, everybody else is flying here and there. They're playing upwards of 25 games, and we have so many limitations, and it's only hurting our kids. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I just want everything to be on a level playing field. That's all I care about. Like, it's unfair that our kids can't travel more than 300 miles to play. Like, I would like to go to California. I would like to go to New York. I would like to go to Florida and participate in some of these tournaments. But we can't. And it's really no, you know, no justifiable reason that you can say that why we can't do it. But why is that just Michigan? Like, will I have to move to experience taking my team to Vegas to play in a tournament? I shouldn't have to. You know what I mean? Like, I think, like, America should have one structure. Because at the end of the day, it's not their kids being affected. It's just ours. You understand what I mean? So it's like everybody else, you see these kids that's going to Stanford, Connecticut, et cetera, et cetera. Like, when's the last time Michigan had a kid play for Connecticut? You know what I mean? When's the last time a kid played for Stanford from Michigan?
I think the last time anybody from Michigan got recruited by UConn was 05. Deladon turned down UConn to go to MSU. I mean, not Deladon.
Jahan.
The girl from Granville. Yeah, Jahan. She turns down UConn to go to MSU. That's a lot of fun.
Right, but that's what I'm saying though. Like, how come our, how come we couldn't have a kid that was part of that 89 game history? You know what I mean? Like, and this is no knock to all the other universities, but let's just call it for what it is: UConn, Stanford, Tennessee, and Baylor, and those guys. They rest the top right now. How come our kids aren't like that? You know what I mean? But these other kids are playing all year round. They're playing in various leagues. You know, the state of Texas has a homeschool league where kids are homeschooled for 2 to 3 hours, and then they're training for the rest of the day. So how fair is that when our kid who has been in school all day has to go on a circuit and compete against a kid that's been in the gym for 8 hours? You know what I mean? It's tough. Just wanted to be fair, so... That's my crazy story. Michigan High School athletic structure. That's my crazy story.
Man, thanks so much, Jarvis, for coming in, man. We already know you about to go get the kids. Hell, they probably been on the break for these 45 minutes.
Yeah, I'm looking at my freshman right now. She's trying to look the other way, but I'm about to make her probably shoot a couple more free throws. You want to say hi, Janae? She's too shy. She don't want to do it. Well, get on the court, sucker. Let's get busy.
All right, man. John, we'll talk to you later, man.
Yo, love is love. Yo, thank y'all, man. Yo, peace to everybody, man. I hope y'all win. Shout out to my man, Omar Ahart, Liggett University, all my other coaches, man. Love y'all, man. Yo, good luck for the rest of the season. Let's get it.
Hey, peace, man.
Word.
Yo, this is Last Second Shot Podcast, man. Hey, if you are just now tuning in, if they just now tuning in, man, you need to rewind that after we done. Now, I really didn't think we were going to get much better than the Coach Marshall interview. I didn't. I think I told you that. That's probably our best interview we've done, man. So open and honest, and just, man, just an open call for everybody to get it together. Yeah. Man, so... Oh, I mean, after that, we still got a lot to talk about. Well, not a lot,
right?
But we have some things to talk about still. You know, also what we have to talk about is yesterday. Two of the top 10 teams in the state went head to head.
Hey, drop a bomb for second on Harris and Bill and Dial, man.
Man, what a crazy. Hey, now look, Heritage jumped all over Midland Dial, man. They did. I thought it was going to get ugly. I thought it was going to get ugly at one point. At one point, remember, I'm talking to Eric because I'm watching the game online. Shout out to whoever got me that free stream. I don't know how I got it for the freeze, but I did. Shout out to y'all.
It was probably somebody from Dow. Probably somebody from Midland or Heritage. Whoever did it, thanks.
Salute.
Shout out to Saginaw and Midland.
And so, you know, I tell Eric, I'm like, man, I'm about to turn this off. It's getting ugly. You know, I'm talking to Eric. We're talking about the show and how much of a shooter he is, and you know, all types of stuff. And so we go into the I mean, 3 minutes later, I told Eric, like, yeah, they down 17 or so, and I go back to the screen, and Midland Dial is fighting their hearts out. I mean, you know, just really attacking. If Midland Dial plays the way they play in that late third and all through that fourth quarter, I don't know if they win. Heritage is definitely on their heels, though. And with all that being said, Heritage played a hell of a game. Heritage came out there and they punched Midland Dial in the mouth, you know. Like, not violently, but, you know
figure
what I mean. Figure of speech. You know, they came out, man, they just played hard from the stretch. I mean, I think in the first quarter, Molly Davis hits a three and Wasco gets the other 2 points. They held them to 5 points in the first quarter. And that was late in the first quarter. Jesse Bigno, shot the ball. You know, as a matter of fact, I really want to say, you know, this is the first time – I know this is the first time I saw her able to display her shooting skills. From what I read, that might have just been the first game all season where she's gotten to display how she can shoot. I mean, Jayla Richardson, you know, pulling the ball off the glass, being aggressive, just drawing fouls. Just a really good game. A really good game. It had the makings to be a snoozer. But Midland Dial, shout out to Coach Tyson, because he didn't let his team quit. And that's what's important. You can't let your team quit. You know, you might know y'all not going to win. You know, a lot of teams like to say, hey, we always think we're going to win until the last second. Okay, that's fine. But you might know that you're not gonna win. But he didn't let his team quit at all, and until the last second, they were fighting, and that's what it's really all about.
Yeah, it is, and you know, they play in the same conference. I'm assuming that they'll play. You know, it'll be a rematch again. You know, this season before the tournament. So
there will be.
You know. So. You know, I look forward to probably even better game by both teams. You know, both coaches are good. They're gonna make adjustments. They're gonna, you know, try new things. And you know, I will really look forward to be, you know, a even better game. You know, probably a candidate. It might be. I don't want to hype it up too much, but I'm gonna just be honest. It might end up being one of the games of the year. You know. You know, set your calendars, you know, be ready to, you know, fill your tank up that day and drive out to Midland and see that.
I might be in Midland that weekend. So,
oh, field trip?
You know, you got a coach. We already talked about this.
Yeah. I do.
But, you know.
I got to work, you know.
Any Midland queens, you know.
Hey,
whatever.
Not shooting no arrow? We shooting no air, bro?
I mean, chill, hey, chill.
Why does hey,
no,
bro.
But really. So, we teased y'all last week with it. And my brother Eric, he's gonna lead us off. Let's give our most entertaining teams that we've seen.
All right, we got to go quick. Because my producer telling me it's only like 2.5 minutes, so you only got a couple minutes, so I'm gonna go quick.
Okay.
All right. We're gonna go 2008 Detroit Community Crystal Bradford. I think that was our freshman year. That was a real entertaining team. Bay City John Glenn this year. Country Day, pick a team, but really I want to say the 2010 Country Day team with the big three. King 2013. Inkster 2011. Southfield Lathrop 2005. Cass 2014,
I'm looking at my list. I might make a change, but I would say Southfield Lathrop 2011. Was that
two Southfield Lathrop teams?
Huh?
I said two Southfield Lathrop teams.
I got it. Yeah, two. It's a special reason for the second one. You know, that's an off air story, but
okay.
I got three more teams left, so I would go. I would go. Cass 2012. Mona Shores this year, and to end it off, every good rich team with Tanaya Davis.
Wow. Okay. So, I'm not going to give y'all 10, because then we're going to sound a lot alike. I'm going to give y'all some old school throwback teams. So, first off, I'm going with 01-02 Martin Luther King. Hey, young pup watching them. And they played basketball like it was supposed to be played. And honestly, those were just some of the best times to be a part of the King versus Cavs rivalry. Now I got the 2005 Southfield Lathrop team. That goes without saying to me. One of the greatest shows to hit the court in Michigan. I got this year's Bay City John Glenn. They're a treat to watch. They are a treat to watch for real. Also, I got this is a mix up. The King team with Antonia, Marte, and Janae Williams.
13.
That, listen, man. All three of those kids were just special. Just special. and thus some special things happened on the court. Now you said the 2014. You said the 2014 Cavs team. They would be honorable mention for me, okay? And this is just solely off of one player. From the time Brandy Agee got there, which I want to say that was a year after I got in high school, so the 2008, till she graduated in 2012, she was special, one of the most entertaining players I saw. I'm putting her teams in there, especially when Lauren Elliott got there, because Lauren would set her up something mean. Lauren's freshman year, when Brandy was a senior, she would just it was disgusting, the pass that she would throw. So I'm putting that Cavs team there. hey, now you're gonna be mad at me for this one because I always loophole you.
Okay.
I'm going to say that Mac Irvin team with Kier Lewis.
Man, all right, man. All right.
No.
You didn't take me off.
No. Okay, I'm not going to pick an out-of-town team. I am going to pick an AAU team, though.
Okay.
The Michigan crossover in 2010, their top under 17 team. Yeah. Yeah, that was mean. That was a mean team. That's my last one. I picked the AAU team. I don't know if you knew that was legal or not.
I did not know that it was illegal, because otherwise I'd have had a couple more in my bag, but, you know, I'm sticking with my list, though. Sticking with my list. I ain't go to the throwbacks. You know, I only, you know, I didn't see as much as Darren was around it, you know, during them days, probably twice as much as I was. I was around it, but only, you know, halfway. Darren was full board back in the, you know, 01 and 02 and everything like that. Darren was full board.
Hey, also, now that you brought up the throwback, the very first ever Michigan Monarchs team. Crazy.
Oh, you
the very
you're taking
first,
it back.
Bro. I want to say that was in 2000. It was either 99 or 2000. Ken Wilburn, Amanda Moore, my sister June Clore. It was just wild.
Hey, you see, I don't mean to cut you off. I actually really want to say this while it's in my head. Now you see, like, me and Darren, and especially, like I said, especially Darren, especially back in the day, you know, when we bring past things up like this, we just ain't going back with a computer and digging it up. No, like, when he was, when I say he was around it, he was around it. Like you say, his sister played, and his sister was a really good player, you know, playing for casting them, you know, those nasty cast teams. I mean,
woo!
So we are genuine historians. Not to brag on ourselves or nothing like that, but
I'm bragging.
You know, I know we're young, but we really was around it and absorbing everything that we were around.
Yeah, man. I don't know how I picked that crossover team over the Monarchs. No disrespect. That first Monarchs team was very special, man. I mean, Kim Wilburn went on to break records at the Ohio State University, and was rated one of the best players ever, or one of the most dominant players in the last 50 years in Oakland County. And definitely one of the better players in Country Day's history, which, you know, they have a rich legacy. Amanda Moore, probably the only player, you know, I would just dap up from that school on 10 Mile. man.
Hey, you got to actually say the name of the school when you talk about Amanda. We got to be respectful.
Okay. Amanda Moore, she played for Southfield High. The Blue, the Pigeons. What are they, the Pigeons? The Blue Pigeons?
Hey, they the Blue. Look, when it comes to Amanda Moore, we gotta say the Blue Bears, bro.
Okay. Man, so
you gotta be respectful.
I'll be respectful. And of course, my sister, who was a good player in her own right, went on to play and coach college ball. I mean, and they had everything. I mean, Bill Laimbeer's daughter played for that team, Carrie. And she ended up playing in college. She was a good player for Country Day as well. That team was just loaded. It was just an absolute joy to watch, and it was just loaded.
Hey, man, we could go AAU team, man. You really you just sprung one on me going the AAU route, man. But I ain't gonna get into that. You know, it might be our producers already pissed at us for going over time anyway, so.
Tell them to chill. Tell them Darren said it was all right. Nah. But for real, we gonna wind it all down, man. Hey, let me just leave y'all with a last second shot. Man, so look. Last week I told y'all, if y'all season not going as y'all expected it to, it's not too late to change. Hey, now, I listen to Eric Thomas, not our co-host, but the motivational speaker. I listen to him just about every day. Hey, go out there and expect to win. Winners win, losers lose. And I know that seems like an obvious statement. Go out there, be a winner, and win.
Hey, real, that's real spit.
And I said spit, people, so don't try to make it seem like I'm cursing on the show. I said spit. But my last second shot, you know, I try to keep it lighthearted because, you know, Darren always goes deep. So I'm going to, you know, hit you with some light stuff, you know. Like I always say, don't be afraid to pull up from 30 because I might have to pull up from 30. Actually, no, I'm throwing a lob tonight. I think to Darren.
Hey, you should probably chill talking about your shot because never mind.
I'm gonna chill. That's what I'm talking about throwing this lob. You know what I'm saying? I'm throwing this lob to you tonight.
We out of here, man. We out of here. Y'all have a good one.